and welcome to What Should I Watch, episode 31. I'm here with Mike and Mark. How are we doing, guys?
Fantastic, Steve.
Brilliant.
We've had a bit of a break due to various commitments. What's your excuse, Mark?
I love music, Steve. I just love it.
Were you musical, Mark?
Yeah, well, I was being a triple threat, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it takes a lot, but for me, it's just so naturally. It seems like sometimes when I sing, I just start acting and dancing, and I can't stop it.
I'm trying to get the image of you prancing across the stage with jazz hands out of my head.
Oh, there's no jazz hands.
You know, the plum-colored tights, Mike.
Yeah. Form-hugging plum-colored tights. If you look up roles on like musical theater directories, they give like levels of dancing, you know? So like, if you want to know, well, could I be like Robin Hood, right? What would I need to do? And it'll say, well, you need to be a baritone. You need to be able to dance. And then it might put in brackets, jazz, right? Or Singing in the Rain, it might say dancing level, you know, kind of elite dancing, and then tap would be in there, right? So I go for parts where it says mover. Yeah, I don't go for anything with more than that in it. If it's anything more than moving, I'm out. Can't do it.
That's like funny. Step left, step right, step left.
not even. It's like,
really?
You have to be dramatic as you move across the stage when you're singing. Like, I tend to throw both my hands out away from my body. That seems to satisfy people.
I'd have thought with all your taekwondo training now, with all those forms and stuff.
That's entirely my problem. Everything is stiff. Not everything.
Semi-stiff. Yeah.
I don't think.
He was 40, huh?
I know. But if you look, like, there's so many dancers in this family too. If you look at any of them and then put me in there, it's like, I see it now. The difference.
Yeah. The old hip flexors ain't what they used to be.
in auditions, they go, can you dance? I go, I can move. I'm directly quoting. Who am I quoting? He was on Graham Norton a couple of weeks back in January. He told this story about how he goes in. I think it was named on a minute.
Okay.
Not Ewan McGregor, the other Scottish guy. The guy that was in Glass.
Oh.
Playing the Beast.
Yeah.
McAvoy.
McAvoy. He was telling Graham Norton that when he's in auditions and they ask him, can you dance? He goes, I can move. So
that's the other Scottish guy. Yeah, I must remember that. The other Scottish guy. Yeah. There's only two.
I think there's probably a couple of other Scottish guys would be highly offended at not being the other Scottish guy.
Would there, though?
Who was the guy in 300?
Sean Connery as well.
Sean Connery, of course, yeah.
He won't be too mad about it. What have I been saying to you?
Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Mission Impossible. He was one of the best bad guys they had in that.
Yeah, that's true.
Jared Butler, you're thinking of, Mike.
Yeah. You're going to tell me now he's not even Scottish.
Oh, I don't know. I think he is, actually. But did you ever hear him in interviews?
No.
He gets crude fairly fast.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. he does. Like,
that's why we don't hear him interviewed very often.
Probably, I would say. Fast. Probably. Like.
Speaking of crude, I got a bit crude during the week when I heard about Sonic the Hedgehog.
What's going on with Sonic?
You know, there's the new movie.
Sonic 2, yeah.
And, you know, Sonic 1 was the biggest movie based on a game ever.
Really?
And Sonic 2 is ahead of it already.
Wow.
It's set to make all kinds of records. And unfortunately, they're now planning a Sonic the Hedgehog universe.
Nice.
So that means lots more Sonic the Hedgehog movies. It's just like, oh, God, really? But I'm just glad they're not aimed at us.
One of my boys went to see it, and the other one's hopefully going this week. They're fans.
Right.
I haven't watched any. Jim Carrey said he's out, though. He's not doing any more. They need a new Dr. Robotnik.
I think he's retired, you know. I think he retired last week.
I think you're right.
Or this week, yeah. I think he just said, yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him recently. He's a bit rougher on the edges.
He has been for a few years.
Yeah.
He just didn't give a shite, really. And he's got a few money now. So
it's been a couple of weeks for that.
He goes around. He looks like he's getting his wardrobe done by Sean Penn, you know, is fucking.
he was also quite vocal about Will Smith. Speaking of,
he was, yeah.
Yeah, he was just saying, geez, what a clown, essentially. Could you not have just said it to him quietly afterwards?
That's what I was going to say, is there's like, you had Will Smith retiring from the Academy, you had Jim Carrey retiring from acting, and you had Bruce Willis retiring from acting.
Yeah, yeah, poor old Bruce.
Poor old Bruce, he was good innings, but he just can't do it anymore. It's a pity.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers, yeah. What do you call it? Will's what, banned for 10 years now from the Academy?
From going to the event, he can still win the award.
Yeah.
So that's going to the event and voting on it, right?
Well, the Academy votes. So he retired himself from the Academy.
Kind of. Before they could. Yeah.
You can't fire me.
I quit.
Yeah.
Then did you see he was in the news again earlier in the week? Was it? Yeah, I think it was earlier this week where herself dragged him onto one of her live streams.
Ouch.
Things and started having a domestic with him, and the tone and the angle she took, you went, oh dear. Like, he was trying to say, look, we talked about this with boundaries kind of thing, which she ignored and then got pissed off at him because he wasn't playing ball on her live or on her stream. Mm-hmm. And then started saying, well, of course we've problems, don't we, Will? I wonder who caused those, you know, kind of thing. I was sort of going, whoa. Yeah, let's see who did cause those. Yeah,
that's a lot of dirty laundry.
There's the woman who's boning Jaden's best buddy.
But the other thing is, she went after him. Was that not the case? Did she not like acquire a married man kind of thing? You know, was that kind of a dash? Do you not remember that? No.
Don't remember that, no.
Yeah, yeah. There was that angle too, which was a thing, you know. So, but then,
yeah,
the whole Scientology thing was dragged into it as well. It was just like, oh Jesus, car crash. Yeah. So they've a bit of repairing to do, I think, there. But anyway, it's like watching. Oh God, you know.
Yeah, just throw a couple of million Scientologies away. They'll have a course to fix that up.
No doubt. I do have a question for you though, gents. Let's say you're in a relationship and after maybe between 1.5 to 2.5 years, things don't seem to be moving forward. Uh-huh. What do you think is the best thing to do? I have a suggestion if you want to hear it.
What's the best thing?
Is this anything to do with anal?
Oh, jeez, Mike.
And we thought Jared Butler was the problem.
Straight to it, Mike. Would you not do an L course or something?
I'll give you a suggestion. You can tell me if you think it's a good idea or not. What about if you give them an ultimatum, and say, marry me or move on, just like our four couples did.
Oh, no. Go on.
So the premise of the show is, right, they bring, I think it's 8, it could be 10, right, people. They're all in relationships with each other together. And then they do kind of a mixer over 3 days where you're not really supposed to go near your existing partner. And the show is called Ultimatum, right? Okay. So someone in each couple has given an ultimatum to the other, marry me or move on. Or as we like to call this show in our house, shit or get off the pot. So they do the mixer, and then you pick, you know, who your favorite. That's, I think the longest relationship is 2.5 years. I could be wrong.
Wow.
I don't pay that much attention watching this kind of stuff. So you've got 2 or 3 days anyway to get to know all these members of the opposite sex who aren't, you know, your partner. Like, and then you pick one, and if they pick you back, then you get to shack up, or you can just not do that and, you know, go to the person that gave you the ultimatum and say, you know what, you win, we'll get married, come on. That's what it is, actually. So there was like, it might have been 12 or 14 at the start, but I think it's down to like 8 couples now. So right. these are now new couples made of the remnants of the old, right?
Okay.
So then they live...
there's been some switching going on.
Yeah, so they're all switched up. So they live together now for 3 weeks. Then they come back together and have, you know, a round table to discuss everything that's gone on. And then they go and they live for 3 weeks with their original partner. And then at the end, they all come back together and decide who do they want to marry. And like, obviously, it doesn't make any sense to just say nobody. But I believe that is an option. So So, like, I can't think of a better way to fix a relationship that seems to have lost momentum. What about you guys?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's crying out with decide in haste and repent at leisure.
But whatever about being a fixer for a relationship, it is excellent, excellent TV.
Oh, God.
So the show I'm talking about is The Ultimatum, Marry or Move On. And it's from the power couple that is Nick and Vanessa Lachey, who brought us Love is Blind, or Love for Guide Dogs, as we refer to it in this house.
Go on, yeah.
Well, I just think, so first of all, there's some great cast in it. Like we've been discussing this a lot here when we're watching it, right, about like, what criteria did they use when they were cast in the show? Mm-hmm. And like, obviously they went for couples that didn't really care about each other. Mm, right. The relationship was a bit like an old blanket, you know.
Yeah.
There's holes in it, but if you lie the right way, it'll keep you warm, you know. And I think that's what they did. They got a collection of those people together. And there's one of the women in it is definitely an alcoholic. She is always, always drunk whenever she's talking.
Nice.
So she's brilliant. So then every so often she just lets all of the truth out. That's just brilliant. Anyway, it is like it's difficult to watch at times because there's a lot of tension sometimes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'd say they'd want some fairly burly security men on set to
it hasn't gotten that far, but I think that belies the fact that nobody really does care that much about their original relationship.
Yeah.
But there was one situation where a guy said, "You better get away from sitting beside me fast." And then your man got up and moved to across from him. And I went, well, shit, that's even easier to hit him now. He's in front of you. At least when you're beside him, it's going to have to be a side elbow or something. Anyway.
You'll be delighted to know that The Bachelor is back for season 10 soon. The Australian Bachelor. I thought I couldn't wait. It was 2 weeks. I've been saving this up to tell you.
So it's a great show. I thoroughly recommend it. Mike, you'd enjoy it, I'd say.
Yeah, it sounds like the kind of utter trash that I
So what trash have you been watching the last few weeks, Mike?
Trash. I've been taking out the trash, actually, in terms of finishing off seasons that we started. I saw the end of Archive 81.
Oh, yeah. And was good. Well, remind us what that is again.
Well, should we remind our audience how much Mike hates finales this year? He's done nothing but give out about the ending of TV shows, so I can't wait to hear what he thinks of this. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Great content. Archive 81 was the guy who got hired to go through all these old tapes, and then it turns out the spooky things happening back in 1992 Manhattan.
Oh.
So it was 8 episodes. It was pretty good throughout. It kept my attention, but the last 2 episodes, it just crashed and burned for me.
Shocker,
didn't see that happening. Yeah.
No, I didn't see that coming at all.
Basically, they set up the bad guy all through to be a really interesting bad guy character.
Mm-hmm.
And then in episode 7, they make him a neutral character. And then in episode 8, they try and make him a goodie.
Oh, he's adopting puppies and shit.
Yeah, so what the
fuck? Yeah.
and here's this brand new, freshly minted bad guy you've never heard of before.
Oh, right. He was bad. Good. Just wait till you see.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was...
Is it teed up for season 2?
Yeah, they're gonna go for season 2, but I don't think I'm going to follow them down.
You're done, are you? Yeah.
You can't do that with an antagonist when you spend a season building them.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I was really waiting for him to just pop and give us something memorable.
24 used to annoy me like that.
Yeah.
You'd always get the bad guy in the end. You're just like, ah, damn it. Yeah. You know?
So the classic one of those, of course, is when they switched Stephen Dorff for the Blood God in the original Blade. Oh, yeah. Remember? Stephen Dorff was a
long
class.
Time ago. Yeah.
And then they turned him into this giant kind of wall of blood. And you're like, this is no longer interesting.
Yeah, he just checked out of the door. Yeah. Now, Severance was a
Severance.
Different.
Remind us what Severance is as well, if you don't mind. Yeah.
This is the people working in an office who don't know what they're doing, and they've all undergone a procedure on their brains whereby they can't remember what happens outside the office. And then when they go home in the evening, they can't remember what's inside the office. So they have two completely separate lives going on. I remember Mark beginning to get a little bit annoyed and impatient because it appeared like nothing was happening episode after episode. And that, I think, was a valid criticism because it was all very gentle, gentle little sneaky hints and stuff going on in the background.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was
a subtle kind of a show. But then in the last episode, they just fucking exploded it. It was like you spent 8 episodes saying, I wish I knew what was going on. And then suddenly they're just shoveling it into your face. This is what's going on. Do you like it now? Do you like it now?
Well, I suppose that is the question. Do you like it?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Absolutely. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, not what I thought you were going to say. No. I'm still watching that, but I'm pretty happy. Far behind. Yeah,
Me too. I'm going to go back to it. I'd kind of put it on the back burner to see how you got on.
I was so surprised. It was absolutely not the way I expected it to end.
I had watched 2 episodes.
Right.
And it was like the pace was so slow.
Yeah.
And he meets somebody. Mm-hmm. And then things started to pick up. At least the level of risk and the kind of the mystery and what was going on from episode 3 gets a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm back. I'm starting watching episode 4 now as well. So
okay. I'm back on that
stick
as well.
With it. Yeah. Stick with it. If I wanted to see that last episode, it's awesome. Because it's just unexpected. Like you get to episode 8 and you're thinking, how are they going to finish this?
Mm.
And then it's like they've flipped a switch and it's just all systems go.
Brilliant.
So kudos.
Season 2, do you think?
Yeah, they're greenlit for season 2.
Excellent.
So I'm dying to see that.
So what should you watch this week? Should go back and watch Severance. It's on Apple TV. Right. Did you hear Sam Neill got in a bit of trouble this week? He had a bit of an apology.
What did the gentleman do, no?
Do you remember The Power of the Dog? Or The Power of Dog or whatever?
Yeah.
He was on Mark Maron's, I think, podcast, and he ripped into it and
rightly so.
I was going to send the link to you because he made several points that I was like, geez, Mark would like this because I remember you had an issue with certain parts of it.
Just the start, middle, and end.
But his issue was like, what the hell does New Zealander know about, the West, Wild West. And then there's no way they're that buff, that skinny, and that homoerotic back in the day, right? Essentially, right? So then he had to go back.
Good clean dirt criticism, eh?
pretty much. So then he had to go back and make a big apology because, it blew up, of course, And
What was the problem, though? It seems like he was making legitimate criticism.
You sound like Sam, right? You sound like Sam before he said that someone who loves him dearly explained to him the error of his ways. And then he went, all right. So that's how he came back and made the apology.
I need to find such a person.
Yeah. So
maybe it was you, Stephen. I just didn't listen.
I think he hasn't been cancelled or anything. Not that I think he'd care, but anyway. Mark, you have something called Farpoint that just saw list. I am this very interested.
This is purely honorable mention, right? This is purely honorable mention. So for Christmas, I got the VR aim controller for the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a gun that has the glowing ball on the end, like the Move controllers have.
Right.
And it has like 2 analog sticks and the buttons are reconfigured from the DualShock. It's not a call the DualShock now. What's it called?
Whatever.
The PS4 controller.
Yeah, right?
Buttons are reconfigured and it's on a gun. So if you hold the gun like a rifle, you can reach all the buttons you need to play a game, right?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it does all the duck hunt stuff. You aim and shoot using it as well. So I've been playing a game. The only game I've played with this controller so far is called Farpoint. Because I play an hour and then maybe 5 weeks later, I play another hour.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not getting very far into it. But this game, the story is good, right? So this is why I wanted to bring it up, right? So these two ships are searching for a third, right?
Okay.
You have the guy that's you, he's at the back, mm-hmm. and you have 2 people, they're not a couple, in the, it's a man and a woman, they're not a couple, in the ship in front of you.
Okay.
So we're busy exploring space, searching for something, and this wormhole opens, just like all the best science fiction starts, right? And we all reverse engines and try not to get sucked in, but just like Flash Gordon, we do, right? So as I'm, so they go in first, and then I go in afterwards, and I'm trying to kind of retrace their steps to find them. And they're retracing the steps of the ship they're looking for because they realize that they went into this wormhole too.
Okay.
With me so far?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So the way that plays out in the game is every so often I see like a kind of a blinking light that says, there's a memory here, scan this area. And I go and I scan all around the place by going like I'm painting with one of those air painters, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I've done enough air painting, a scene reveals itself, right? Mm-hmm. And every so often when that's happening, I get a bonus download to my rig, and it shows me a scene from back in their kind of base camp, right? So it means that I get to see the story playing out in front of them. Now, they haven't said this directly yet, but I'm guessing that gravity has played with time a little bit, and they've probably been dead for hundreds of years. But no one's told me this directly yet, so I'm just working this out on my own. So anyway, there's a whole hoo-ho. Anyway, they don't get on to the start, and then gradually they start to warm to each other. And eventually they realize there's no way they can get home. They're like a billion light years from Earth or something like that. So unless they can magic up a wormhole, which they can't, they're stuck here.
Yeah.
Right. They've scanned a lot of the planet. There's no humanoid life, right? It's just the two of them. And it's going to be just the two of them for the rest of their days, as far as they know, right? Mm-hmm. What do? They have a kid.
No way.
What are you thinking? He's going to be the loneliest child in the history of humanity. Anyway, that was. I suppose they just need someone to change their diapers when they're older. You got to respect
that. He needs a brother. He needs to go Cain and Abel on it.
Yeah, but they probably will though.
Yes,
yeah. Going to be so fucking old. Anyway, I just thought it was honorable mention because when I saw they were getting on, I said they better not, and then they did. And the next thing he's like, I don't know, eight or nine.
How is the VR?
Okay. Yeah. When I started playing it first, there's this kind of dormant volcano that I imagine is not going to be dormant forever. But anyway, no spoilers, right? And it's putting a plume up into the sky. And the graphics around that are brilliant. I spent a lot of time at the start just looking up and watching the smoke piling out of that. It was really well done.
Cool.
And that serves as a landmark. So I started, I was quite close to that. I passed kind of sort of through it. I'm out the far side now, and every so often I look behind me just to see what's going on with it. Like, so the graphics in that way are good. When the tracking is set up right, the aiming is really good. Mm-hmm. But between fights, it tends to lose the run of itself. So when you're walking forward, I put the gun down. I don't hold it up in front of me.
Yeah.
But it tends to go below the range of the camera.
Gotcha.
So it loses it then. And then when I pull it up to shoot at something, it's like the gun, even though I'm holding it, pointing at the screen, it's actually appearing as horizontal in front of me. So then I have to come out of the game, go back into the game quickly, and then it tends to right itself. So it's not too bad. But once you do that, then once you press like the home button, go out to home, come back into the game again, it's fine. It's perfect.
And then you can
use the sights. The sights work just like they would in a real gun and stuff. So
very good.
That's good. So it's decent, and there's a few tactical concerns there, like you have to use the right weapon for the right alien.
Very immersive.
Oh, it is. Yeah, like for the first 2 hours, all I fought were spiders. Like there's nothing worse than you're going along and you see some fucking stones fall from a cliff or something. You go, there's going to be a spider jumping in my face now in a second.
Oh no.
And it was constant. There was some nights when I was playing it, like I'd have goose flesh all over my body because it was chilled. Yeah. So it's good. I recommend it. It is good.
Cool. Okay, cool. You had something else there I wanted to ask you about. The Boys Presents.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I watched this.
I also watched some of this. I watched two, maybe three. Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems to be like a thing now where people create cartoon series, like Star Wars have done it and a few other things have done it.
Yeah.
So this is from The Boys universe, which is obviously a TV show on Amazon Prime, returning to our screens in June. And it's basically just a collection of cartoon shorts from that universe, featuring some characters kind of from the show peripherally, but it's not really about them. It's really about other people that have powers in that universe.
Oh, so my God. I'm laughing because I was just thinking about, Jesus, if my son found this, you know, or either of them, it doesn't matter what age they're. They'd be changed. They'd be changed after, like, you know.
Like, does this baby that has, like, laser beam eyes.
Yeah.
And his powers only activate when he sneezes.
Yeah.
So, and like, there's loads more to it.
And it goes off at random. I saw that one. I was watching it going, what
the? That's the first one, yeah.
It was so graphic. That's the thing.
Whatever. It's very like The Boys in that it's the same level of
unbelievably graphic. Yeah.
And it kind of explores the Vought universe. So the fact that they were, you know, I don't really want to spoil The Boys TV show, but the origin of all the superheroes is revealed in the last season of The Boys. So they kind of dig more into it in this. It seems to me to be set chronologically around the same time as the last season, you know, either in the second half of that season. So it's good to get me entertained for a while. There's a couple of decent episodes in it.
I couldn't cope after, I think I watched three and I was just like, yeah, I have enough of that now. Sorry. Because the second one is about superheroes who've crap powers.
Oh, like the guy whose power was to have a face with boobs.
Yes. Yeah.
So his eyes became boobs and they just hang down in front of his face and do nothing.
Yeah, there was loads of them. They were just ridiculous, you know, ridiculous. But anyway, that was also very, very dark.
That was very dark and a tough episode to watch. Yeah,
it was. And I think it might have been that one that I bailed after. But I could recommend this, really. I'd say Mike might like it. But
well, I think if you're really into The Boys,
it really hit your heart, Steve.
Yeah, it did actually. Yeah,
there's a later episode where a guy gets hold of this compound that can give people superpowers and gives it to his wife. They're both quite elderly. But she's dying of cancer, so it's this kind of last-ditch effort to save her. Now, that's a very dark episode as well, but it's actually really good. The story, and it's excellent.
Right.
And there's a couple of other good ones. If you're a super fan of The Boys like I am, I think you can't really miss it. But, you know, I think there are better, less dark anime out there in the world.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Tell us about Starstruck while you're talking there.
Well, I just watch too much TV is my problem. So I watch Graham Norton quite a bit, as you guys know. And Rose Matafeo was on it there a couple of weeks back talking about season two of Starstruck. So I looked it up and it's basically a love story. So what it is Rose plays this very ordinary girl from Australia who bumps into Tom, played by Nikesh Patel, who is like a really famous Hollywood actor, but she doesn't recognize him. So they have this really normal start to a relationship that obviously is very new to Tom. And then from episode one, the problem is that he's super famous and she's not. And it's very much, will they get together? Won't they spread out across two seasons? So, but it's like, it's really sweet in parts. It's really sad in parts, and they do a really good. Okay. So no, I won't say that because I think I'm giving too much away, but the acting and the writing is really good in that the same kind of story happens in nearly every episode almost. Right. And I don't mean that to be reductive because I don't think it does. Right. But they do it so well. Did you kind of believe it? Now, time is passing quite quickly. Like, I think they label each episode with the seasons in season one for a while. So there's time passing between each episode. And then they meet up again and the same story kind of plays out again. But you don't get tired of it. And they're getting to know each other better each time. And I just think it's really good. I really, really recommend it. And I'm frantically looking up now because I know you're going to ask me where can people watch it. The next question you're going to ask me, it's on BBC Three. I think you can get it on Sky at the moment. I watched it on BBC. So the iPlayer may have the first season there.
Very good. So with the new miniseries to look at, new miniseries called Moon Knight. So this is about a guy called Stephen Grant who discovers he's been granted the powers of an Egyptian moon god. Bear with me. But he soon finds out these newfound powers can be both a blessing and a curse for his troubled life kind of thing. Well, anyway, yeah. So episode one, which I guess we all watched, I had no idea what was going on for half it. And now it was kind of funny because it flicks between scenes very, very quickly. And that's what kind of grabbed me. But it took me a while to cop. I don't know if it's the same for everyone, was it?
What I was read happening? The comics. I'm a different audience.
Oh, have you? Yeah. Mike, yeah. What about you? Now, it's obviously Marvel, I should say, as well, yeah. So it's quality.
I was struggling badly with the arms folded syndrome. Mm. So, I did figure out what was going on, but I struggled to care.
Okay. Did you watch any more of it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't a favorite then.
I had to.
No. So it stars Oscar Isaac as well, which I thought was Oscar Isaac, money from Marvel.
Mm.
Story, you know, pretty good writing. And from the trailer, it looked surreal, but interesting. That's what kind of grabbed me on it.
Ethan Hawke playing the chief antagonist.
Is it? Yeah, so it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I went on to watch, I think I'm up to date at the moment, actually.
There's an episode dropped today. It's Wednesday as we're recording.
I haven't seen today's one, yeah. But I'm enjoying it. I'm not sure why yet. It's kind of one that I'm still sort of on the fence. If it holds my interest in this episode, I'm probably in, you know, that kind of way. You know, this is the crucial one, I think. Yeah. So, but what about you, Mark? You've read the comics, so you've another perspective on it altogether.
So I watched the start of episode 3 and it started really well. I thought episode 2 was very strong also. My problem with episode 1 was there was, so like, he's a superhero, right? You'd be doing well to figure that out.
Yeah, he was just a normal dude having, you know, episodes is what I thought, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot about mental health going on in this. I think it comes with an advisory and, you know, a hotline number and things like that. But in the comics, right, the mental health bit is always played up. So he does have a split personality disorder in the comics. I'm not clear yet if he does in the TV show. In the TV show, from where I'm at, it's being explained differently from how I understood it. But like in Marvel, the bad guys always try and take advantage of this. So they try and stick him in asylums and convince him he's mad. Mm. And they're like, no, you're not a superhero. You're cracked. That's what it is, right? Don't be trying to use powers. Sure, that's only given into the insanity. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. And this is how they try and, I guess, disable him, basically. Mm. And from time to time, he believes he is mental, you know? But the thing about it was, though, and I shouldn't say that, I'd be disrespectful, but what I should say is that in the comics, he did actually have mental issues. He had mental health issues. So it wasn't like the bad guys were tapping into something that wasn't there, you know? So I'll be interested to see what they do here now. Like, it's nearly like an Odd Couple TV show at the moment in Marvel. Like, you have a couple of different characters that appear from time to time, all played by Oscar Isaac. One of them is very, very incompetent and not really able for life. And the other one is like James Bond with superpowers, you know. But it takes a while for you to get to the bottom of that. Episode 2 reveals that much, basically. And I saw a couple of things in episode 3 that leads me to believe that this is going to expand further. So I'm looking forward to that. So I think it's good. I think it's actually good TV. It's well written. Like, you know, like
I really like the way it goes from mad, bizarre superhero movie to him, you know, bumping into this lady on the streets of, was it London or is she just British? I can't remember.
I was set in London.
Was it London? Yeah. And he just happens to bump into her there and she's on a moped. And I'm sort of going, Jesus, it's very normal all of a sudden, you know. You know, it's a huge contrast between scenes, you know. I find it, I'm going to watch more of it. I'd probably, like, if you like your dark superheroes, yeah, for sure, I'd throw it out. Recommendation, like.
I think if you like superhero stuff, you like this.
Yeah,
I think it's too early to tell whether we could say, you know, if you like other types of thing, because it's
yeah.
It's really taken its time, showing its colors. I think, you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, cool. So, Moving on to Halo, which is another game-based TV series.
You didn't let me shit on it. Fuck's sake.
I thought you just did.
I thought you were finished. I thought you
I thought you're done as well. No, come on. Tell us more. Tell us more.
Yeah. No, I was just being polite to let you go and talk away.
Have you more criticism, fine, Mike? I'm not gonna where are we wrong, Mike?
Yes. No, the starting point absolutely drives me bonkers. Is this trope of the pathetic Englishman who's supposed to be funny, but in fact it just makes you want to laugh at his incompetence. You know, fucking James Corden and Stephen Merchant, all these kind of guys play off that quite a lot. And that immediately twanged my hate button.
Okay.
And then once he starts switching in and out between his different modes of existence, I just couldn't take it seriously because it doesn't know whether it wants to be funny or an action movie. And
can't it be both?
No, it can't. Pick your genre, dude.
Will Smith never had to do that.
Will Guardians of the Galaxy are at the door there, Mike. I think they want to talk to
you. No one ever worried. Yeah.
But therein lies the problem. Guardians of the Galaxy was actually funny. This wasn't.
So, Deadpool's right behind them. Just out of mention.
Deadpool was shit. it's shit funny, which is taking away any potential enjoyment of the action-y part, which for me is an awful losing combination. I think I might watch more of it.
But this is the one where you went in with your arms folded before you started. Is that it?
Isn't there a lot of examples of this in superhero comics and you know, mythology?
Spider-Man.
Anyway,
like Spider-Man.
Like Clark Kent used to trip over his own shoes. Now, obviously, he was putting that on, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And what about Iron Man, the alcoholic?
Well, he was actually an alcoholic, you know.
Yeah, it was a dark story.
Yeah.
And proper action. And when it was funny, it was him putting people down.
No, I think I'm making a different point though. I'm saying like having an incompetent alter ego isn't a new thing, you know. And like Captain America originally had an alter ego who was also an incompetent soldier.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah, in the original comics, he used to pretend to trip over his gun and stuff, and people go, "Oh, goddamn, Steve!"
Fair enough, Mike. Not for you.
No, not for me.
Even though I like it, I can see that there's going to be a lot of people in Mike's camp. You know, it's not as accessible.
It's kind of why I'm reluctant to say go watch it. You know, because like you said, we don't know it well enough to say, oh, it's like this or that yet. You know,
I think we'll keep our finger on the pulse of this.
Yeah,
and come back.
Yeah, I think we'll come back to it,
people.
Yeah,
like it.
Yeah. And back of course, to the finale for Mike to shite on it. Yeah.
So there was some. There was some sadness on Moon Knight as well. Gaspard Ulliel made a debut in the show in episode 3, and he died soon after. So I think there's going to be a what's it called? There's going to be a remembrance, or they're going to dedicate the episode to him, I think. So it's a pity, because you know when you start showing up
in
TV show, you know that's when things are about to start for most people. But unfortunately for him, that wasn't the case. So that was a pity. It was a skiing accident, by the way.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, he wasn't sick. It was just a skiing accident.
Yikes. So what did I start with? Oh yeah, Halo. So this is Microsoft's their Xbox big game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Halo 3, one of the biggest FPSs of all time.
Massive. So anyway, they have inevitably TV showed it. Miniserie, and so let me see, what does IMDb say? Aliens threaten human existence in an epic 26th century showdown TV based on the video game Halo. Yeah, thanks to IMDb, it doesn't tell us anything about it.
it doesn't know. So there is an elite race, not race, there's an elite level of soldier basically that the humans have called Spartans. And our story picks up when three of these land on a planet and start to take out the aliens whose name I can't remember now. Anyway, one of the Spartans called Master Chief touches a relic, which is not a euphemism. And it kind of lights up and seems to demonstrate latent power. So this brings him to the attention of the powers that be, basically, and they want him back. And he allows basically a girl from the planet to tag along with him to try and protect her. And he finds himself in the role of protector, and the story kind of goes from there, because obviously he's not supposed to care about things like that because he's like a Spartan and all tough.
Yeah. The aliens are the Covenant.
Thank you. Covenant, yeah. So there's a war between the Covenant and the humans. The Spartans are the elite soldiers of the humans. And this relic apparently is quite significant and becomes a focal point for a lot of the story. So that's kind of it.
What do you think, Mark?
Oh, I don't like it.
Tell me why, Mark.
It's like Mandalorian with worse writing. So the
absolute nail.
When Master Chief has his helmet on, he sounds like the Mandalorian.
Yeah, he does.
Except he doesn't have the character of the Mandalorian. So when he talks, you're less like, if you're trying to do that talking under the helmet thing, people need to be going, God, that guy's so cool. But in this, I was just going, you just kind of sound like a weaker version of Mandalorian, or the Mandalorian would kick your ass, you know? And while the action is good, I don't know, am I just numb to it? Because this is the third helmet warrior we have now. So we have the Mandalorian, we have the Book of Boba Fett, and now we have this guy. And sorry, but this guy doesn't do well by comparison. So both of those two shows I mentioned had much better writing, you know, richer settings and stories that didn't sound like a version of a Vin Diesel movie. So like, I was definitely seeing parallels with Riddick and all in this that, again, didn't do it any favors. So it's not for me. It's not for me. But I have to keep watching it, though.
Mike. You have to keep watching it. I know, right? Yeah, Mike.
The helmet, actually, I discovered in my background research was the source of the vast hatred on the internet for the show, because the Master Chief never ever takes his helmet off.
He does it right away, this guy.
And he does it straight away. It's like it's the equivalent of Judge Dredd taking his helmet off. You just
or the Mandalorian.
I really disliked it from start to finish. I did enjoy the diverse community getting hacked to pieces by the aliens. All the happy faces with their lights going out and behind
that,
their eyes.
That was pretty graphic too. I was surprised because it like the Mandalorian is almost, well, pretty kid friendly. This isn't.
No. I had a real problem with special effects. I thought, especially the Covenant guys, it really looked like that cheap ass fucking, you know, those sci-fi made for TV movies, the Sci-Fi Channel. Especially the alien weapons, just they look terrible. They just look fake and cheap. And I think this show wasn't cheap, so that's not a good reflection on the design
department.
Apart from that, the characters, there wasn't really anybody that struck me as interesting. You know, they tried to have the mad scientists, our old friend Natasha McElhone or whatever, and she's
or whatever. Don't mind him, Natasha.
But she's a bit of a cure for insomnia in this. You know, it's like, oh, I'm an evil genius, but I'm not going to say anything really worthwhile in this episode.
The best thing about episode two, two Natashas.
Two Natashas.
There's a spoiler for you.
Yeah, I suppose if anything was going to rescue that car wreck of episode one, it was going to be giving us two Natashas.
It's funny, you know, because I started watching episode three, and when the previously on started to play, I went, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I completely lost concentration towards the end of episode two. And I went, well, that was really significant in that thing that happened. I didn't think that matters. Yeah, God, it's not great, is it?
So I started this and immediately dialogue writing sort of, you know, I was just like, ah, Jesus. You know, it's like, do you remember that time back in Nam? Yeah, woo, yeah, yeah. You know, all that kind of talk. Yeah. You know, the
that time you saved my life when we were under fire from the cops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That time. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right, and explaining the whole thing to the colleague who was there. He was fucking there. You don't have to fucking tell him. You know, so you're just being spoon fed. And that always annoys me. It's like assuming the audience is an idiot, you know, they're all idiots, you know, or it's not, okay, this isn't going to be a smart show, right? Mm-hmm. So it's based on a video game. Come on. And so that's half my fault, you know. So, you know, for expecting anything different. Sorry, Mark. What?
It's okay. In episode two, then they started off with a flashback to 20 years before. And they introduce, you know, a 20-year behind version of someone we hadn't met yet. Then 5 minutes later, we meet him.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, lucky we had that flashback, eh?
Yeah, I know, right.
Because now you don't have to work so hard on your character establishment.
And the other... so they get to... I think it's episode two, maybe, that there's a mining sort of a colony type thing where misfits and so on hang out. Mm-hmm. I was just like, Jesus Christ, did they film this in the Total Recall studio or what? You know, it's, you know, the original, you know what I mean? It was exactly that. And it had all the annoying bits that from that and just looked, you know, it looked paper mache, right?
Am I the only one that thinks that cable cars in space is risky?
I know, right? No, but in an asteroid field. You know,
asteroid field, yeah.
You know, that's the thing that just blew my mind. I was like, so what stops them from, you know, that asteroid field that you had to go through?
I completely got vertigo. When the first time they got into one of those yokes and started zipping between like really far away meteors, I was going, good God, has nobody thought this through? So this must be me getting old and risk averse.
I know, right? I know, right?
And, you fucking wuss.
I need to move my portfolio into cash.
My problem is that I'm still watching it.
I'm the same.
I know. I don't know why.
I'm such an idiot. I feel things because I'm an idiot. I don't know why you're watching it, but for me, it's because it's stupid.
I think it's because the lack of Mandalorian or Boba Fett episodes. Yeah. And this is feeding that bad habit, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And you could be finishing Severance. Instead of wasting
I know, I know, this. I could. I know, exactly. Actually, you know what? So Halo, would I recommend it? No, but I'm still watching.
Definitely. Hell no.
You know?
Hell no.
And I'm looking forward to the next. That's the worst thing. I don't know why, you know. Look, the story isn't that bad, right? Like the story, I think that's what's carrying me, is that I do want to know where it's going. I do want to know what's going to happen in that side of it, but it's the execution that I have the problem with.
Sounds like they executed it pretty well if you're dying to see the next episode, Steve.
Well, it's more the story. It's more the story. I know what you're saying, and I fully admit it.
It's like
I'm a walking contradiction with this.
It's like being in an abusive relationship. That's what it is.
Stockholm's syndrome with Halo, yeah.
Do you know what people should be doing right now, actually? I see season two of Raised by Wolves has dropped on Sky.
No, right.
As has Peacemaker. So if you don't have access
to
a VPN for American TV, Peacemaker's on Sky now.
Someone came up to me last week and they were saying, have you seen this show called, it's called something Peacemaker? I was like, yeah. And he's going, oh my God, it's brilliant. And it's like,
such a good show.
And I was like, you mean like the intro dance and all that? He was like, oh my God, everything. And I hate fucking superheroes. You know, that was brilliant. It was a brilliant advertisement for that show. But
maybe before we check out, I might just give a recommendation as well for King Richard.
Okay.
Really?
Really?
Really, yeah. Like, Will Smith 100% deserves a slap.
Kick in the arse.
Is he not some violent Oscar wrecker?
Yeah. So he deserves the Oscar for it, honestly. He is brilliant. So the show was really good. It's not at all what I expected. And in the trailer, they make it look like King Richard is a really abusive father. And they don't, like... I came away with the view of like, you wouldn't get away with it nowadays, basically. But to people of kind of our age, you wouldn't have seen very much wrong with it back then. He wasn't beating his kids. Like he wanted what was best for them. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very focused on them achieving that, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I think people should watch it. I think it's really, he's a really interesting person, right? Like, so like King Richard,
is this produced like in old English or is it just like normal English? Are we not going through a Romeo and Juliet kind of bullshit with this.
So we're talking about the father of Serena and Vanessa Williams. Venus Williams. Sorry,
yes,
Serena and
yes,
Venus.
Yes.
You just wanted to get the joke in, did you?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So, like, he made a plan for them to become the top seeded female tennis players in the world before they were ever born, right? So he's a really unique person with a weird outlook on life, right? Mm-hmm. And he brought this kind of dream into reality for them. Like, obviously, they were very, very talented. But the force of his will is a big factor. And I think they do a great job of showing this. And they don't try and show him like some amazing person. Mm-hmm. They show him like he's really, really human in this. Mm-hmm. And you can see his flaws. And like plenty of people are on screen to point out his flaws in case you miss them. But it's very easy to watch and really enjoyable to watch as well.
Okay.
Give it a go. And you learn a bit about the Williams sisters.
Oh, great.
Like, which I didn't particularly care about, but you do along the way, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
What's my favorite quote from that movie? This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England.
Fist bump, Mike. Mark.
Steve.
Life and Beth.
Life and Beth. Oh, I nearly forgot to talk about that. Amy Schumer is back on her TV screens.
Yay.
So she's back from Mommyhood. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Amy Schumer. In this TV show, she plays a fairly unhappy, would we say middle-aged? She's probably not middle-aged yet, right? A woman in her 40s in an unhappy relationship, unhappy with her job, unhappy with her life. And then she experiences a tragedy that kind of gives her some momentum to make a few changes. And the show kind of tracks that journey. So that's it. What did you guys think? Also features Michael Cena. Not Cena. Yeah, it is Michael Cena. That's his name, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be on Team Steve here in terms of absolutely hating Amy Schumer.
What's to hate about Amy Schumer?
She's just irritating. She used to be funny. When she first came out, she was very, very funny.
Yeah.
And then somebody smacked her around a bit and just smacked all the funny out of her. But
I think it was because someone else was writing her jokes.
Okay, that would explain things.
Yeah, she got outed for that, all right.
But
it was Michael Cera. I knew I was saying his name wrong. Sorry,
Cera,
Michael.
Not Cena. Yeah.
I did find it kind of hilarious that she's basically making a show about going back to her roots in the boonies and meeting a nice man and going to church and like the complete opposite of her New York lifestyle that she's kind of been the poster girl for such a long time. I'm not sure if they quite thought that through, but maybe there's something later in the season.
Maybe that's exactly why they wanted her.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy this. And I have to admit, I did go in with arms, legs and eyebrows folded. I was picking holes in it. There probably isn't a whole lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, it just isn't for me. Just isn't for me. I was just like, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was just like, you know, I just can't warm. I just can't warm to her stuff. I just don't find her. It's a bit like Ricky Gervais. I know he's good. I know he's a genius. I know he's heartfelt and so on. I just don't like the guy. I don't know why.
Yeah, you
know?
That's fair enough.
You know, there's something that just rubs me up the wrong way. And I don't know if it's that I have an association. With an experience that I've had in life or something like that, or you know, something like that. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's them. I think it's not you, it's me.
Well, did you see Michael Rapaport in it? How many episodes did you guys watch? Just the first one?
Just the first one.
Michael Rapaport plays her dad and is brilliant. He's in a lot of stuff now. A lot of people know him from a lot of the stuff he has on Netflix. Like he's on Atypical, he's really good in that, and he's in a couple of other things. And he's been, everyone knows him. You look at him, I guarantee you know him from something, right? So this Life of Beth is on Hulu, right? It's not that I empathize with her very much because it's a it's not a unique situation. It's a very human situation. But like, I had a lot of sympathy for her, and I kind of wanted her character to be all right in the end. And that's kind of why I'm still watching it. Because she's extremely well-intentioned, but things don't work out for her often.
Mm. See, I think while watching this, I was drawing parallels to that other show that we watched a few weeks ago, where the girl who could sing, do you remember? And then someone wrote a book about their high school experiences. And do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
I felt for that lady. She deserved it. You know, that kind of way. You know, I was very sympathetic with that lady. Somebody somewhere, exactly. You know, I really enjoy that, actually. I watched the first episode twice, in fact, because I recommended it to herself, and so I watched it again with her. So that's a great show now. Sure, skip Life and Beth, go straight to Somebody Somewhere. It's much better.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I think Somebody Somewhere is a stronger show. Like, I watched the first episode of that too. I agree. Like, I think this is trying to be funny at times, and usually it isn't. But I'm not watching, and like, that's a weakness that you can't overlook, right? But I'm not watching it to laugh. I'm watching it to see how she gets on, basically. I want to find out what happens to her in the end and where they end up.
I was hoping it was going to be cancelled, but it's renewed for season two.
I'm obviously not the only one interested.
Yeah, no, obviously not. We're wrong, Mike.
Yeah, what do we know?
Yeah, what do we know? What else? I meant to say, I'm still watching We Crashed.
Oh, me too.
Are you? Good.
Yeah.
I think episode 5 or 6 now at this stage.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Such a great show. And it just gets better. Yeah.
Can't wait for the finale.
Yeah. And so... So then when we watch the weekly one, we're back onto The Dropout, because we haven't finished that either. But and that's just great as well. Really enjoying that. So that's kind of a staple diet at the moment for the week, is those two. But I'd highly recommend We Crashed. It's Jared Leto and what's her name? Anne Hathaway. Yeah, fantastic.
Is Jared Leto in that Morbius movie as well?
He is. Did you hear the crack with that, actually?
No.
You know the way the Morbius movie starts out and Jared Leto is playing a guy who's really, really sick and looking for anything that might cure him, right? Yeah. That's why he makes some bad decisions that leads him to becoming Morbius. Mm-hmm. But he did it all, he method acted that.
Okay.
So he was on crutches and stuff in the movie. So when he had to take a bathroom break, he would get into the crutches and then really slowly go over to the bathroom. So it took so long that the production staff got a wheelchair on set. So whenever he had to pee, he would just sit in it, they would wheel him over and he would do his business and come back.
Because
it was about 10 times faster. Yeah, I thought that was brilliant.
Wow.
It was my favorite acting story of the week. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think that's it for this week. I think we've covered all bases.
It's a wrap.
So from Mike, Mark and Steve, stay classy.
Stay classy. Mike didn't even try, Steve. Mike didn't even try.
Did he ever before?
Surprise.
He never tried before.
Me by surprise.
When we get bought up by a conglomerate, you get less.